How do we keep the peace when people are waging a war? Find out today on Dive Deep. If you're joining us from the car, the gym, running errands, or home with a sick kid, we're glad to have you as a part of the Dive Deep community. Our goal in this podcast is to help you grow in your faith. As you know God in greater and deeper ways, you can become more effective as a disciple making disciples. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, and joining me today is Pastor Arley.
Hey, Caleb, nice to be here.
Glad to have you on as well.
Thank you.
You were very direct during your sermon on blessed yesterday.
Okay.
And that being that, you know, blessings are not really meaning everything's going to work out in life. It's not the tangible, the financial, the health, the wealth, that kind of thing. But you really tackled the idea that blessings are so much more transcendent. Really, they're of a spiritual nature. And it's significant that you identified, especially when looking at the Beatitudes, that, you know, most of them are about a future blessing, one that we're not going to receive in the here and now.
Sure.
And so I'm just curious, how have you felt or experienced blessing in your personal life?
It's just an incredible concept when we try to think about how God wants to bless our lives and how much he wants to give. And I talked a little bit about it in reference to, you know, my own kids and how much I love to bless my kids. I think a father feels that way. You want to bless them. You want to help them. You know, that's why I think that I see so many parents who are trying to save up for their college education or save up for this. And, you know, there's or parents that like put their kids in Meadowbrook. I mean, you know, that's like a house payment for some families. And, you know, so like, you know, they're putting a really big investment and they're working hard to make all those happen because they just want to bless their kids and they want to keep keep God's hand on them. And so I think for myself, you know, I think of how much God wants to bless us and how much he wants to bless me. And I'm pretty overwhelmed by that when I think about that. And I think about how much he loves me and how much he wants to bless me. I feel very, very blessed. And from the very beginning, I really had a heart to just really honor God with my life, to want all that God wants for me. And so to put myself in a place where I could really see that happen and develop, and God's been so faithful, in my life. And, you know, so I feel that, personally, I have experienced, you know, his blessing time and time again, like through our giving and through, you know, the way our sacrifice, things that we've kind of set aside or whatever, that has been a part of that. I feel that, just even, you know, as I've prayed for wisdom and I've prayed for an understanding of God's word and prayed that I could be able to bless others with that. God has been faithful at doing that time and again. So I just am very grateful for his blessing in my life personally, and have felt his presence, you know, in a regular basis. I feel very blessed by that.
And I just want to point out, I'm recognizing or at least observing a theme as you're talking here, that a lot of the blessings you've identified are ways that God has given into you, but that you've given out to others is really the theme I'm hearing here. It's not what he's given you that you've been able to keep and enjoy for yourself. It's what you've given out. That just makes so much sense, though, with what he's called us to.
Well, I think he blesses us to be a blessing.
Yes.
You know, and I think that that's like, it's not just to make us feel good. And I think we make a big mistake when we're just seeking after God so he can make us feel good.
Right.
That's so temporary. And, you know, it just isn't lasting. Right. When we think about, you know, I think about a good meal. And after a good meal, I think, I don't need to eat for days. This was just wonderful. And then about 3 hours later, I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm kind of hungry.
I could do that again.
And so I just think that, you know, when we're just trying to feed ourselves, it's just not enough. We're always empty. And we're always wanting more.
Right.
But when we're letting it flow through us and God use and work and bless us that we can bless others, it's unending.
Right. And so he blesses us with physical health so we can serve physically and strong, and be that strong foundation for somebody else.
Yeah.
He blesses us with wealth so that we can give generously and be someplace, a resource that people can go. I mean, that's what this is all about. We're not promised the wealth and health and prosperity. That's a misconception our culture's got.
And see, the difference is if you're expecting God to do that, then you become resentful when he doesn't.
Right.
But if you're just really like submitting it to God and giving it because it's just your joy to give, then he's free to bless you however he chooses to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to be okay with that. However God chooses to bless us, that's okay.
Yeah, and so he puts different calls on our lives. It's about identifying that and working with God in what he's blessed you with. And now we received, a really difficult question from a listener who is, you can tell, was processing what you said about some of the political aspects and statements that were made yesterday. And they asked, how do we balance loving justice and keeping the peace? For example, current political divide, Christians that might be voting for someone that could promote an agenda other than ours, and they identified specifically killing the most innocent. Now, they didn't identify whether that's, you know, abortion or if it's like assisted suicide or what exactly that is. But
I think it all fits in that same category.
I think it does. Yeah. Sure. So how do we balance loving justice? And this is the kind of the title question of, for people that are waging war on other people, how do we love them? How do we love justice, and how do we keep the peace?
Do you know, I think it's really interesting because, like, I have to go back to, like, what did Jesus do, you know, and how did he deal with these things? Because Jesus really wasn't political.
Right.
And so it's kind of hard for us to kind of work through all of that and think about it all. Like, we have to go through several layers to get to the point where we say, okay, well, so maybe we should be involved in politics. Because it's pretty easy for us to say we shouldn't. You know, because when Caesar's, the question about, you know, do we pay taxes is brought up to Jesus. He said, well, yeah, you give to Caesar what's his, and you give to God what's his. So he was pretty clear about all that. And basically, as Christians, that's what we try to do. Romans also, 13, he talks about submitting to all authority. Correct. And so our responsibility to God puts everyone in authority over us, that we might be submissive and learn that. And so having a democratic society, it's kind of like almost in conflict with our faith and with, you know, how we see it should be worked out.
Right, because the majority are not Christians.
Correct.
Let's be clear about that. And they're the ones that are influencing them.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But a democracy gives us the right to have a voice in all of this. So let's go back to Jesus. And I've tried to always use that, like, what would Jesus do? And really think about scripture onto what he did. And what he did was he told us to be blessed are the peacemakers. And so that's the, like, first thing he said. Then when he went to the temple, to see that at that point, people were taking advantage of other people, he became irate and he flipped those tables over. So there's two parts to this. There's one that I'm always seeking to be live at peace with everyone, that as much as it lies within me, which Romans tells us, as I quoted on Sunday. And then the second one is standing up for injustice.
Right.
And so, you know, the whole thing was, you know, Jesus said, my house should be a house of prayer and, you know, and not be taking advantage of people. It wasn't the selling that was the problem. They had to sell. You know, some people misread that and think, oh, well, they couldn't sell. And when they sell things in church, they're, Jesus is going to come turn over the tables. No, that's not what happened. He wasn't, because they, people who didn't raise animals had to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Where did they get their sacrifices? They had to pay for them. They had to buy them from somebody else. And so things had to be sold there. The problem was they were taking advantage of people. They were jacking up the prices and gouging the people for those sacrifices. And so so he's always, God's always been angry at injustice. And so we have a right to become angry at injustice. And so that kind of goes on both sides of the spectrum, because I hear some of my Democratic friends who are believers say that, well, you know, Jesus tells us to take care of the poor, and that's what we do. Then I hear Republican friends speak and say, well, we need to stand against abortion. And, you know, that's one of the platforms of the majority of those in a Republican position. In fact, you know, obviously the president's very pro-life at this point. And so they would support that. So it puts us in very much a place of debate mm-hmm. within both of these aspects. And so which one is the one that we should support? Right. And I really believe you have to come to a point or place where you can stand against something without standing on someone.
Right.
So you have to make sure I can stand for an issue without being offensive to a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very spiritually mature line that we have to draw. And it's not being drawn very well.
Right. We've lost the ability to be in opposition without detaching from being the opposition.
Right. And so we can hate a cause and hate an issue, but it seems like it's interpreted into hating a person.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's the wrong.
Right.
And so we've got to learn how to be able to stand for something without standing against a person.
Certainly. And so, I mean, obviously there's kind of three tiers of individuals that are involved in this. There'd be just the regular secular world, and kind of their influence and their how they would vote. Then there's Christians who really have strong convictions and how they would influence our culture and our politics. And then there's kind of the middle road of some secular who have Christian maybe values or morals, but maybe aren't strong believers or not believers at all. And then we have Christians who aren't really strong Christians, but are kind of grounded moral, maybe new to their faith, and they're not really, they're kind of in the in-between too. But it doesn't matter who you're dealing with. We're always to show that love, that compassion.
You have to. You have to always come off with showing the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. And when I say the love of Christ, he certainly, he was angry at injustice. Right. Now that was, lots of people say it's okay to be angry because Jesus was angry. He was angry at injustice. It wasn't a personal anger.
Right.
That's a very different kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he was angry at injustice. And God is always, all through, that's a constant theme, Old Testament, New Testament. He stands for widows and orphans, you know, injustice, the weighting of the scales.
Yep.
He talks about that in the Old Testament a lot, mm-hmm. you know, where they'd kind of put their finger on the scale and they'd make things have to cost more because mm-hmm. They would weigh it down. That all of those things, he said, God stands against those things. And so the injustice, whether Old Testament or New Testament, God is speaking very strongly for that and defends the defenseless.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely. Right. And so when we get into our culture today and we have people on both sides of the spectrum and Christians on both sides of the spectrum,
mm-hmm, certainly
we need to make sure no matter what our belief system is, we still have the love and respect for one another, and we still make sure that we're being peacemakers, because that's what God's called us to if you want to be blessed.
So there you go. Stand up for what you know is right, but do it with love and compassion. Thanks, PA, for joining us today. And thank you for investing your time with us on CWC Dive Deep. Join us next Monday as Dive Deep tackles the topic of morality. And if you missed past episodes, check those out at cwc.life, where you can catch up on our entire Core 52 series and access all the resources you need to dive deep in your personal study or with your core group. Have a great week.